Hi everyone, welcome to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. Today on The Trash, we'll talk to the trash head himself, Christopher Evans. We'll talk a lot about Elimination Chamber. Zane will join us. We talk about some other news, including his experience trying to get tickets to Double or Nothing. Great story from Zane. We also talk about some of the other things going on in professional wrestling. And since it is Valentine's weekend, a look at those who are married, are together, and then those who didn't quite make it. It's all happening for you on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. We like to start things off on the trash by remembering the life of the great Pedro Morales. Pedro Morales, a former wrestling champion for the WWF, came to the United States from Puerto Rico, and he held the title for 1,027 days before losing the title to Stan Stasiak. He also was a World Tag Team member. He won that with the great Bob Backlund. He is a Hall of Famer, and he passed away this week. So we remember Pedro Morales.
TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
It is another edition of Turnbuckle Trash, and joining us from, where at North Carolina again?
It's a beautiful day here in Winston-Salem. I'm having a wonderful time here at my job, and the slot machines are moving, and all the money's going onto the tables, and people are wondering why they did it.
Yeah, you work at a small casino as security, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
yes,
Winston-Salem. Yes, so that's if you're not willing to lose a little bit and don't have a little bit of self-discipline, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. Speaking of a lot of trouble and no self-discipline, let's talk about the world that is the WWE. Now, first off, Christopher Evans, I want to talk to you about the situation that is going on with WrestleMania and the main event between the man, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey, and now what's being added into the mix right now, Charlotte Flair taking over for Becky Lynch. What's going on there, my man?
I think it's kind of ridiculous how they're doing this. I mean, the people want to see Becky and Ronda go at it. They don't want to see Charlotte. People were booing like crazy and getting on Twitter onto Charlotte. But Charlotte was keeping kayfabe alive, where she says, "Well, I didn't know how much you all hated me." And she goes, "Well, I should just pull myself out of WrestleMania." And then on the bottom of it, she goes, "I really don't care what you guys think of it." But it is good. I like it. But here's a question for you. Okay. Did you notice on Monday Night Raw that Becky forgot that she was injured?
Yeah.
Did you all notice that Becky forgot that she had been injured with her knee, but she was running across the ring without no trouble and no limping?
But then again, she had been to her doctor and been cleared.
Well, I mean, I wish my knees would clear up that fast. I mean, what, 24 hours, what, 2 or 3 days, and your knees were fine, and you were limping like you had broke something? Come on, now. If you're going to do kayfabe, do it all the way.
Yeah.
Make it look, but, yeah, I kind of, that was kind of a butt fumble right there on Becky's part, but I also noticed on Monday Night Raw when her and Rousey went at it, and then when the Riot Squad came out, the crowd was dead silent.
Yeah.
They didn't say a word when they jumped into the ring. No one said anything. They weren't cheering. You could have heard a lung collapse. I mean, or you could hear someone pass a kidney stone. I mean, come on. This was awful. It was absolutely pathetic.
Well,
but I want to see these two go at it. I don't want to see Charlotte.
Well, with the Riot Squad, they're trying to set up something, anything for Sunday's Elimination Chamber. And I don't know why they booked Ruby Riott to take on Ronda Rousey for the title. I was watching Monday Night Raw, and there's Ruby, who's a fine performer and I think has just a tremendous upside. And she's taking on Nikki Cross, and Nikki's being the nutcase that she is and her character. And the crowd was just kind of going,
basically.
Where's the concessions? I need a foam finger there. It was, and the match itself wasn't that good. I was really surprised because I really like Cross's work and I like Ruby Riott. Maybe they just didn't have a chance to really work together that much. You'd think they would have in NXT, but the crowd reaction was just not there. And I think they were trying to set up something for the Chamber, but once again, the WWE writes themselves into these corners because they're pushing WrestleMania and Becky Lynch so much, and now Charlotte Flair, that this match with Ruby Riott and Ronda Rousey means nothing to the fans. Absolutely nothing. And that's a shame, and that's a disservice, I will say right now, to Ruby Riott. I think it's a complete disservice to her.
You know as well as I do, the WWE stands for one thing: bury your talent and let them go someplace else. And which that's basically what's happening right now. But I don't know what's going to happen. The Elimination Chamber is probably going to be a dud.
I'm going to give the creative staff a little pat on the back about something, though, okay?
Okay, yes.
SmackDown Live, and this was on Tuesday, the 12th, and we're recording this on the day before Valentine's Day, the 13th, and they had an injury with Mustafa Ali. He legitimately has a concussion that he suffered on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. So they had 2 days to come up with something. They had already booked this elimination match to see who would go in last in the chamber, elimination chamber, with all the participants. Well, now, Ali cannot be there, which is a shame because he's an up-and-comer. What do? They turn to the veteran from the New Day, Kofi Kingston. And that match was incredible. Kofi Kingston starts off against Daniel Bryan, the new Daniel Bryan, beats him. He beats Samoa Joe. He finally gets defeated by AJ Styles after being in the ring for 60 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
In this, and then AJ is waiting for the final participant to come in this gauntlet match. And it's the RKO out of nowhere, Randy Orton, who comes out. I didn't like that. It was okay. But Kofi Kingston, what a pro, going in at the last minute and putting on a tremendous athletic display. I just love Kofi Kingston, but I would love to see him with that strap around his waist. I wish he could win on Sunday.
Well, yeah, I put it on the Facebook page that I was hoping we could actually see this one time, and that would make him a Grand Slam champion. But you know what? That would be a way to break up the New Day as well.
Yeah.
That would be a storyline to break up the New Day because Kofi's the world champion. Hey, and now these two are jealous. What a way to get rid of the New Day, which I don't think that'll happen. I don't think they'll put the belt on him. I don't see it. Stand it. It looks fine. The title looks great if he wants to do that. After the after he loses it, maybe he can go smoke it for all I care.
Not the same type of hemp, man.
Oh, I know, but I still. Sorry about that. No, I know.
Which I'm sure he's done that, too.
I mean, look at it. He's been with the company 17 years. He's held every major title except for the world title. Hey, y'all did it with Bray Wyatt. Why not do it with him and say thanks for all the years? I'll be surprised. I think Daniel keeps his belt at the Elimination Chamber, but dang, I would love to see Kofi.
I would too.
I love it. I would love to see. What would be a good little storyline for him is if he could steal Daniel Bryan's title, go to a steakhouse and eat a steak on it. And he can just carve it up real quick. That'd be perfect right there. This is my new plate.
Yeah.
Hope you like it.
And eventually down the road, that's probably going to happen. You know, somebody's going to do that whenever they eventually take Daniel off the pedestal and take the belt, and they'll just take it and eat a steak off of it, which would be fine with me. But I have nothing against people that are vegans or vegetarians. That's your choice. No. I just don't care. But I do think that Daniel will win. And precisely the reason I think he will win is because he's got that brand new belt. They've put so much time and effort into that. I think he'll find a way. Will Eric Rowan be part of the decision? More than likely. Will Luke Harper, who has been cleared, will he have something to do with it on Sunday at the Elimination Chamber? Will he join Eric and Daniel as part of a little faction? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in the air for that one.
It's the Vegan Club.
It's the Vegan Club.
Yeah, the Vegan Club. So the Bullet Club, it's the Vegan Club. And instead of doing the little symbols for the too sweet, they'll have asparagus in their hands and smacking it together.
Smacking that asparagus, baby.
Smacking the asparagus together. Here we go.
I love it. Well, let's talk a little about this Sunday's Elimination Chamber. They're going to have the first women's tag team title match, and it's going to be decided inside the Elimination Chamber. Say that three times fast.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the team of Nia Jax and Tamina versus the Riot Squad, Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan, versus Mandy Rose and Sonya the Iconics, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce. Bayley and Sasha Banks will also be there, and Naomi and Carmella. So there you go. You got three from SmackDown, three from Raw, and the eventual winner will be the first tag team champions for the women in the WWE.
Well, we all probably know what's going to happen. The Hugger and the Boss will probably be the first ever tag team champions of the WWE, the women's tag team, which the belts look wonderful. I like the way they designed them. They're nice. But I see Bayley and Sasha. Yeah, I see those two winning it because it's been all over the internet, all over the, and you have to believe everything you read on the internet.
Bonjour.
Of course. Uh-huh. But will the tag team division for the women's, for the title, will it work? Can it work?
I love tag team wrestling.
Yes.
I'm all for it. I hope it works. I think the weakest team they have in there is probably the strongest team, Nia Jax and Tamina. And then the Iconics. I'm not real wild about them either, but it's good. I think that one could be fun. I'm not talking about, you know, a great match or anything, but yeah, that's going to be fun to watch.
Well, the way Nia Jax is on Twitter and everything else and saying things about other wrestlers and saying stuff about racial discrimination in the WWE, honey, racial discrimination is everywhere in the United States. Get over it.
Yeah.
Okay, it happens. What can you do?
And so, it gets on both sides of the aisle, brother. I mean,
yes, it
I've,
does.
I've experienced it myself. So, and so, it's a shame. You know, I'm going to get political here. It is a shame anybody discriminates against anybody else for their race, for their religion, for their political convictions, or just because of their gender. It should not happen in this time of age. But one of the things that is causing it, and I'm getting on my soapbox right now, is social media and people being so daggum tender about, oh, you hurt my feelings. Get over it and, excuse me, grow a set. You know, don't let people ruin your life because they don't agree with you and they call you a bad name. Who cares? Yeah, I'm about over social media.
I can't stand it anymore. That's why when I get on Facebook, I have to say, okay, I'm done with y'all. I can't do this no more.
Yeah,
it's bad. But you know what? I call people keyboard warriors for a reason. They hide behind the screen and they don't want to come see you.
Let's move on now. The SmackDown Tag Team Championships, which, oh man, I mean, I love The Miz. But this best tag team thing with Shane McMahon
is dumb. So trying to get through a Shane McMahon promo is like trying to drink a bottle of whiskey in one gulp. Not gonna happen.
Not gonna happen,
boys and girls. So,
yeah.
No.
So they're like going against Jimmy and Jay, the Uso brothers, and I think I think it's going to be a boring match, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
And I love The Miz.
I like The Miz, but the problem is I don't like what they're doing. I mean, I say that The Miz and Shane lose their titles, the Uso brothers get them back, and then The Miz turns on Shane, and then they go for the Best of the World title, and then that's probably what's going to happen. I mean, we can only hope. We can only hope, and then
we can
do
only
that
hope.
Border. Yeah. Then Shane can do his border-to-border coast, jump around, and then he could bust his kidneys open for all we know. I mean, we all can see it in the cards that the Usos are going to win the tag team titles again, just to keep them away from another organization, just like they did with another team.
Yeah.
So also
a little Miz news here. They're getting ready for season two of the Miz and Mrs. show. I enjoyed it so much more than the Bellas and the Total Divas on ETV, which they just make these women seem like, and I don't want to say the word, but that I'm going to say it, and it's a derogatory term. They just make them look like bimbos. They make them look horrible, like horrible people.
Yes.
And I don't like the Total Bellas and Total Divas because I don't want to think of them that way. I just don't.
Well, that's what sells. That's the problem these days.
Buddy Murphy against Tozawa. This Murphy kid, this kid can go. He's the champion. Tozawa, who's had some main roster moves, he's the one that always, who all the time. He can go. Two pros at it. And I'm looking forward to that match from 205 Live. Buddy Murphy, I think, will win.
Yes, I'll pick him. I'll pick Buddy Murphy for that win. Good Lord, the man is good at what he does.
Ooh, he is.
I have no problems with that. Yeah, I'll go with that pick right there. Perfectly.
The yawner of the night will be, we've discussed a little bit, Ruby Riott against the champ, Ronda Rousey. Is this going to have anything unless they have a run-in? I mean, Charlotte Flair says that she's going to be at ringside. I could see Charlotte getting involved, and then comes Becky. I could see her coming out also. Other than that, this match holds no interest to me.
It's a flop. It'll almost be like a squash match, but I say that Ronda will go out there, and they'll do their little promos, and they'll fight a little bit, and Ronda will do her arm bar. Then here comes Charlotte in, and here comes Becky. Then Becky will turn on Ronda. Becky will put Ronda in her arm bar and then walk away and say, I could still get you. But no, I don't think this match should have happened at the Elimination Chamber. I don't know why they put it on the card for it. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make no sense.
There was hardly any setup for the storyline. And I think once again, as the pay-per-views get closer and closer and closer, they don't have time to set up a storyline. It just doesn't happen, and this is a prime example of that. So, how about a triple handicap match for the IC title when Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush take on the ordinary man that does extraordinary things, Finn Balor, in a handicap match?
Ooh, well, do you want to put? Would you like to put a steak dinner on it that Balor wins his Intercontinental title for the first time?
I agree.
I think that should be it.
I think it should be. I think it's time for him to get a major title like that. Set up a little feud between he and Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
A bigger feud, and maybe bring in Drew McIntyre into the match. I think that would be a great match for WrestleMania, a triple threat match with Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Finn Balor. I mean, all three are pros. All three can do it. And then you've got Rush, who, I mean, this kid, if you've seen him on 205 Live or you saw him in ROH, he is sculpted. I mean, he's not a big kid, but he is sculpted, and he can do some amazing things in the ring. But I do think it will be Finn Balor, your new Intercontinental Champion. We'll keep our fingers crossed for that one.
Well, let's hope so, because maybe the Ballard Club can make a comeback there, and then Anderson and what's the other guys?
Anderson and Gallows, yeah.
Yeah, maybe they'll come to the ring to make sure there's no interference, or maybe to help Balor out. You never know. I mean, I would love to see that. But, yeah, I would love to see the Ballard Club make their little appearance. But
yeah, you brought up a couple of names, Gallows and Anderson. A couple of days ago, Zane texted me, and he says, "Where are the Good Brothers? Where are Gallows and Anderson?" I said, "Well, they're on SmackDown being buried." And that's where they, I mean, why? I don't understand it. They could do so many things if they would just think.
Well, I just don't understand why they do this to their tag team division. I don't know why they bury. I mean, you bring them over here from another organization. You bring them over here from New Japan Pro Wrestling, where they were absolute gods over there, and then you take a shovel, hand it to them, and go, "Where would you like your plot?"
I don't get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is a shame. That's why a lot of people are jumping ship.
Yeah.
They want to know why things are happening. Okay, this is the reason why. This is the reason why they can't keep anybody. This is the reason why the WWE's ratings are so down, they can't take it anymore. So I don't know.
How do they go get ratings? They bring back the McMahons. Give me a break. Don't like it. But on Monday Night Raw, we have new tag team champions. The Revival finally get their championship belt. And good for them, because they've deserved it. But they had been talking about going to All Elite Wrestling. So maybe that was the way that Vince and the guys said, we want to keep these guys around so we can bury them some more.
Well, I don't think that they'll keep the titles long. I mean, okay, fine. We gave you the tag team titles. That's great, because the internet is blowing up about you all leaving for AEW. I don't blame Vince for doing what he can, because I know Vince McMahon, he's not scared of what's going on. But heck, half these people that they're talking to right now that they want to bring in, like Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Is he going to jump? I doubt it.
I doubt it, too.
I sincerely doubt that. Who would miss the Revival? Who would miss them? In a couple of months, we probably wouldn't even remember their names.
Yeah, but I like them.
Oh, yeah, I know. I understand.
They're kind of a throwback. I mean, they're kind of like the Andersons, you know, the Brainbusters. And I like that kind of tag team wrestling. But then again, I want to ask you about Seth Rollins. And the situation with him going to WrestleMania against, how do I put it now? Brock.
Yeah.
Brock.
Boring.
Lesnar.
Boring.
Seth gets out, cuts a promo talking about how he took 6 F, whatever they call him, F that. Yeah. You can F
six
that.
F five. I took 6 F5. I'm still standing.
I didn't care. That,
big deal.
I am so over Brock.
Yeah.
I've said it before. It's nothing personal, but they write him into such a hole because they give him four moves to do, and he can do more than that. He's more talented than that. And I just might be a match on WrestleMania that I might even turn off, you know, just because I just don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, we don't, you know, because we've seen it over and over and over and over again, and his promo didn't mean anything. The only thing that I liked about it was when Paul Heyman did his little promo, but they did back and forth, but they didn't do nothing for me this time.
No.
It didn't excite me. Even with Paul Heyman talking, it didn't excite me. It was like, big deal. Okay, I don't care if I have to sell my soul to the devil himself. Who cares?
Probably couldn't get $1.25 for that soul, you know?
No. Uh-uh. And the devil went down to Georgia. Why don't you talk to
the CDB? Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you talk to him real quick? Maybe he can help you with the song.
Oh.
Couldn't you see Seth Rollins coming out to Charlie Daniels when the devil came down to Georgia?
Oh, that would be awesome. I would love it. I mean, I love me some CDB now.
Yeah, now that would be that would be pretty awesome to hear that his music.
Would they use country music to bring in somebody besides Hillbilly Jim?
Don't go messing with the country boy.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you about something, a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
One of those is Impact star Eli Drake.
Ooh.
He just did an interview with a guy named Ross Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli Drake said in this interview that he wants wrestling to be geared towards adults, but he fears that the WWE era, the Attitude Era, went a little bit too far with the Attitude Era. He wants to bring it back, but to also rein it in a little bit to be smarter about it. What do you think about that?
Well, how could it have been too much? I mean, some of the little things that they did was a little bit over the top, but that's what made the Attitude Era the number one thing to watch on Monday night. No one's going to ever bring back the Attitude Era. There's no way. I don't care if you hit somebody with 1,000 metal trash cans. That's not going to happen. Yeah, you want to bring back a little blood. You want to bring back some matches that, but you can't do that. Mick Foley could only went through that Hell in the Cell one time.
Right.
It's over. There's nothing you can do again. We've seen everything. I mean, there's some things that we can't even talk about that we have seen. But you can't bring back an Attitude Era. The error is gone. It's over. And
I don't think you could get away with some of the things, you know, like the Val Venuses and then the way they treated the women back then with the bra and panty matches.
And I'll be honest
with you. I mean, I am a red-blooded American man. I like to look at me some dadgum good-looking women, but I was even offended by that. So
Jim Cornette said this one a long time ago on one of his podcasts that if they did something like when one, I can't remember who had that was pregnant and she had a miscarriage.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Even Jim brought that. He goes, if I had saw this today, he said, whoever came up with that line, whoever came up with that storyline, I would find him and I would beat the living dogness out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe you never know. Maybe my wife has had this happen to her. Maybe another woman has seen this and done this happen to her. You can't get away with that anymore. And so people are so offended these days, that company will be out of business in 2 weeks.
They would.
Somebody will knock them out of,
Yeah.
I mean, the snowflakes will fall so hard on that company, it'll be piled up. It'll be like The Day After Tomorrow, the movie, where all the snow was. No, it just can't happen. The Attitude Era is over.
Yeah, but I do think there is room for a little bit more adult type storylines. You could be more creative by going back into time and saying, hey, this worked. Let's try this and see if it works today. And then you're going to know when things go too far, especially today in this politically correct climate.
When was the last time we saw a loser leave town match? Good Lord. How many times did Bill Dundee and Jerry Lawler have to leave Memphis?
Oh, man. They kept U-Haul in business, Bubba.
We've seen all these hair matches. We've seen the cage matches. We've seen the lumberjack, the cowbell on a pole match or whatever. Or the
four-corner Texas rope match. You're going to find what works and what doesn't, you know?
Yes.
I think sometimes when you look back into the past,
mm-hmm.
and you can say, you know what? I remember watching Dusty Rhodes with that cowbell on a rope match. And then I can remember Dusty Rhodes when he beat Tully Blanchard and he had Baby Doll as his valet for a day mm-hmm. and making her slop pigs and milk cows. And that mm-hmm. was funny, good stuff. And I think you could go back a little bit and say, hey, let's give this a try and maybe put a modern spin onto it, you know?
Maybe they could do something that's never been seen before on TV, but the way things are, it's hard to get even a storyline together. Like you just said a few minutes ago, the WWE can't even look at themselves in the mirror because they can't even come up with another storyline because they got a pay-per-view coming up within another 2 weeks.
I think it was last year, when the MK Bandit was on the podcast with us, and we were talking about how far out a promotion actually looks at their storylines. And he says they build from, like the WWE would build from WrestleMania and go backwards trying to build storylines.
Yeah.
If they're doing that, they're doing a poor job.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And, but then again, think about this, all the injuries that come up that might throw a monkey wrench into it. But it seems like if you are creative, and I will go back to the Kofi Kingston show on SmackDown, where they had 2 days to come up with what this was going to happen, and it was entertaining, it was fun. So let's go back even a few years back when Bray Wyatt was going to take on Finn Balor, and it was going to be Sister Abigail against the Demon King, right?
Yep.
And here comes Bray Wyatt and a whole bunch of the roster coming down very ill. They could not compete because it was dangerous for them and the other wrestlers. So did they do? They put their thinking caps on in a classic match. Here's AJ Styles touring in South Africa. They say, AJ, we need you to hop on a plane. He flies in 2 days' time, comes over to the United States, and puts on an absolute clinic with Finn Balor and the Bullet Club. It was, you know, the people were going crazy because they were both members of the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah.
That's creativity.
Yes, it is.
And I think they're lacking that now.
I don't know what they're doing. I know that Abyss and someone else from TNA is coming over.
Sonya Dutt. Sanjay Dutt.
Are supposed to be on the creative team now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can that work? Would it work? Can they bring? I mean, Abyss has been in the business for so long. Maybe he can bring something to the table and say, "Look, guys, this ain't gonna work. This would work.
Yeah,
this could work, but this right here is not gonna work."
And you
maybe
know,
they'll listen. Huh?
I hope they listen. I think sometimes when they get their creative team together, that maybe the creative team is scared to speak up because you might have Vince there saying, No, you're fired. No. And because, you know, they made this big deal about the McMahons coming back, which, oh, don't get me started on that mess. But I'm wondering how many of them are just yes men right now. I really do.
Well, when Jim Cornette was on the creative team, he said that they would, nobody could make a decision unless Vince okayed it. Unless he said it was okay to do it, then nothing else got. They could throw 100 ideas at the man, and he would grab one of them, and that would be it. And he would go with that, even if it was, Penguins on Ice doing doing song and dance or something. I think I just gave them their next pay-per-view. You never know. But let's just say this. Vince don't like professional wrestling. He never has. He wants to be a movie. He wants to be in the movies. He wants to do professional football. He wants to do all. He wants to be the Walt Disney of professional wrestling.
And that's what Stephanie said a few weeks ago. That she said in 20 years she wouldn't be surprised if Titan Sports and WWE was bigger than Walt Disney. And I have to giggle because that's never going to happen.
No, there's no way. I mean, if you say professional wrestling, you think WWE now.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're a household name. They always will be a household name.
Right.
But so is Trash Too, and it gets old. It stinks when it gets old too. So, but I mean,
I'm going to tell everyone that's listening right now. Uh-huh. I think it was on our last podcast. I was wondering about how ROH was going to be able to survive with the situation where they've lost so many wrestlers. Well, evidently ROH, Impact, and the new All Elite Wrestling and maybe New Japan and some of the other promotions are starting to talk where they're going to kind of share talent a little bit. And there is some new blood coming into ROH. And I think I even put something on the Facebook page of a new faction that has come in that is absolutely so much fun to watch. They call themselves Lifeblood. It's Juice Robinson, Bandito, Tracy Williams, Mark Haskins, David Finlay, and they have a female member, and the former Emma, who has been out of action because of injury and also a medical issue that she's faced. They made their premiere on ROH TV, and I've watched matches with these guys, and these guys can go. So ROH is going to be fine. I think they're going to be absolute fine. They're going to be in Las Vegas March the 5th with a big promotion, a pay-per-view, their 17th anniversary, or March the 15th. And if I had any money after being sick so long, it's going to be at Sam's Town, and that's in Las Vegas on March the 15th. I think it's going to be just a great, great show. So I encourage people to check out ROH, any of the independents around, give them a shot, okay?
I think it's a great idea. I think that's what AEW, I almost called them A&W, I think AEW and all the other promotions that are going to, they need to start, switching out talent and doing that. They need to, because that's what Vince Sr. did when he first started. He traded out talent. I'll give you so many dates for Andre.
And that's what the old NWA did too.
Yes.
They would switch talent out. Somebody might be in a territory for a year or 2 years and then go they might go from Memphis down to Dallas or to Houston or to New Orleans. And they're going to have to do some of that kind of stuff to promote themselves and cross promote themselves.
And they're going to have to. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an exciting time. I'm going to throw out a couple other names here. If you have a smartphone, check out the Fight TV app. They have several different forms and different types of wrestling, pay-per-views, and then some that are absolutely free, including, I think, ROH. Pluto TV runs 24 hours, a AAA promotion, also 24 hours of Impact, including some of the newer stuff. And then Twitch TV, which is on the Internet. I don't know if they have an app or not. They also do wrestling. They have some Impact on there, and they have the House of Hardcore. So there's plenty of venues out there outside of the WWE. We talk a lot about the WWE, but if you're a professional wrestling fan or if you don't like what's going on with the WWE, hey, go to someplace else. Don't worry about what's going on with Vince and the guys. Just explore and have fun. And then you can find stuff on YouTube, some great videos from other promotions all around the world. I think it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
It is, and it's about time that we have a different variety of wrestling. You've got Ring of Honor. You've got AAA. You've got Lucha Underground. You've got Impact. You've got now AEW, and you've got New Japan, All Japan. You got all kinds of wrestling that you can go see. I mean, go on YouTube and look for the NWA Southern Heavyweight Wrestling or something like that, or Saw. I mean, I look on YouTube all the time for professional wrestling, and I find a load of it. I mean, even on the indie circuit, which sometimes the indie circuit, I've seen some videos that have been put on, the Facebook page. And I mean, if you're going to rock a wrestler to sleep.
Really? Gentleman Jervis. Yeah.
I mean, I saw that, and I was about to open up my mouth and stick my foot in it as far as it would go, but then I kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
But see, that's what the problem is. I mean, everybody thinks that wrestling is supposed to be comedy. Well, yeah, it can be comedy what it wants to be, but when I see Ronald McDonald getting on the top rope, or I see Michael Jackson doing a moonwalk and kicking somebody, I wonder what has happened to professional, or like Joey Ryan that has the tremendous, unbeatable person, or I won't mention anything else like that.
Yeah,
I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
I don't want to see it.
And that's the thing. If you don't like what that person's doing, watch something else.
Don't watch it. You don't have to. Like I told a friend of mine that works here with me, I said, look, I can watch old wrestling, and I can watch, The Rock beat Mick Foley with a chair over 12 times, and I could still get goosebumps when he got thrown off Hell in the Cell. And I could still, I'd love to hear the glass breaking and Stone Cold come through the curtain. And I mean, I like the old where Kerry Von Erich and the Texas Tornado.
Against the Von Erichs against the Freebirds, great stuff.
The Von Erichs versus the Freebirds, or Jerry Lawler versus Bill Dundee, or all these older wrestlers. That's what I like to see. But that's all in the past, and now it's this version of professional wrestling. But you know, whoever likes it, that's great. I mean, I give you all credit, but I want to see a storyline that I can sink my teeth into, and I cannot wait for the next Monday Night Raw or the next whatever to see what's going to happen on the next episode. Not this, well, we're going to tell you what's going to happen as soon as he walks down the ramp. Let me talk about his knee injury 6,000 times. No, that doesn't interest me anymore. I mean, let me go watch the paint dry on the wall real quick. I think that's more, or I can count the cigarette butts that are on this floor right now. Well, thanks. No, well, what do you want to do? I don't know.
Well, thank you, Chris, and we'll be talking to you after the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, can't wait.
Yeah, and we're going to have some other things happening with Turnbuckle Trash soon. Okay, thank you, Chris.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot. Okay. Have a good one. Yep.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's got to hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were a wrestler?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
It's Valentine's weekend, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to look at some of the couples in professional wrestling. Here are some of the more famous couples in pro wrestling that are married or together. The Callaways, The Undertaker, and Michelle McCool. They've been married since 2010. Jeff Jarrett and Karen Angle. They are together since 2010 also. Of course, they had that angle with Kurt Angle, which was a real storyline. They are a couple. Of course, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. They were married years ago in 2003. Also, a couple in the WWE, the retired wrestler Tyson Kidd, who still does some things backstage, and Natalya. By the way, Tyson Kidd in Toledo had his rental car stolen this week. The Guerreros, the late Eddie Guerrero and Vicky Guerrero, of course, were married until the time of Eddie's death in 2005. Booker T and Queen Shamel, they were married in 2005. Brock Lesnar is married to Sable. They've been married since 2006. Brock Lesnar and Sable. Davey Richards, Angelina Love from TNA Wrestling. They've been married since 2015. Of course, Cody and Brandy. They are married. They've been working together in ROH. They worked together a little bit in the WWE and more. Cody and Brandy. Daniel Bryan married to Brie Bella. Dean Ambrose, Renee Young were married last year. John Henneken and Talia married last year. Bray Wyatt and JoJo are a couple right now. CM Punk and AJ Lee married in 2014. The Usos and Naomi. We have some Uso news coming up in the discussion with Zane. Jimmy is in a little bit of trouble. The Miz and Maryse, of course, the stars of The Miz and Mrs. and their new reality show is getting ready to premiere again on the USA Network. Bayley. Bayley is married to an independent wrestler, Aaron Swallow. Aleister Black and Selena Vega, they were recently married. The Aldises, the NWA champion. Nick Aldis is married to WWE superstar Mickey James. Rusev and Lana. Lana. They've been married since 2016. Happy Valentine's Day to all the happy couples. And now for the opposite end of the spectrum, the other couples. Oh, boy. Sometimes love doesn't go exactly the way you want it to, right? Impact wrestler Bram and Charlotte Flair were married at one time. They split up. Lita, of course, had that Edge and Matt Hardy situation, which was true life, but they also put it on the WWE. Other couples that, they didn't quite make it included Sonny and Chris Candido. Remember that? DDP and the beautiful Kimberly. They no longer are together. You have Zack Ryder and Emma, Big Cass and Mella, Drew McIntyre and Taryn Terrell, Paige and Alberto Del Rio, and of course, you're going to put in there Xavier Woods with that famous video. Also, Enzo and Liv Morgan were an item for a while. Seth Rollins and Sarah Shibler. Sarah got into a lot of trouble with social media, and that kind of broke up. John Morrison was hooked up with Melina for a while. Tori Wilson, Billy Kidman. Here's one that made me laugh, thinking back. The Undertaker. Remember when he had the tattoo that says Sarah? Boy, he had to take that off, didn't he? It didn't last. Chris Sabin and Velvet Sky. Punk and Lita. Alicia Fox and Wade Barrett were an item at one time. Bobby Lashley and Crystal, who was on the Diva Search in 2005. Goldust and Terry Runnels. The Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Miss Elizabeth. Of course, after they split, Miss Elizabeth hooked up with Lex Luger, and then she passed away. And there, of course, there was that big breakup of the last year after a proposing marriage at WrestleMania. Nikki and John are no longer together. So you can have love during Valentine's Day. And then there's the opposite.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.